good to see everybody tonight. We have quite a number that are on the road. I had forgot to mention this morning, Guy and Janet had headed out to California. Bethany was getting married yesterday, and since they're close to Disney, I can't imagine them not stopping there while they're there. So, but they'll probably be back at some point. But Josh and Becca and the kids went down to Weatherford. Josh got an invitation to preach this Sunday morning, and so he made an 11-hour round trip so he could go preach. So I'm sure it was good, and I'm sure that they had a good time. But they're on their way back, and then I guess Zach and Kyle are just horsing around. Is that right, Jared? They went to a horse competition this week. And we've got others that are gone as well, but it's good to see each one of y'all this evening. Good to have Katie back with us. She was asking how the team trip went, and I was telling her how miserable the kids were, but they really were good. We had a good team trip. First time I can remember not getting rained out in about 4 or 5 years. And Carolyn and I had Nate and Blaine with us, and we've decided we're traveling with them from now on because they kept us laughing the whole trip. Plus, they weren't on social media the whole time. That's been a few years since we've had teams in our back seat that I would say something to, and they wouldn't talk back, and then I realized they had something in their ear. So it was fun to be able to communicate with people and see their eyes and everything. So it was a good trip. The kids represented the congregation well, and we had a good time on the trip as well. We were talking about the love of God. We used as the text this morning the 107th Psalm, verse 43, that said, "Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord." And that's what we spent this morning on, was considering the great love of the Lord. And so this sets the table for what we want to talk about tonight. And that's the love that we are to have for one another. Before we can really have a proper type of love, we have to understand the love that God had for us and the love that Christ had for us. And also to recognize that we don't deserve to be where we're at just because we are who we are. We've been given an awful lot. I think it's very tempting to look at other people who are doing things that we disagree with, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with being disappointed with bad decisions and being frustrated with bad directions and being even outraged at sinful behavior. But that doesn't mean that we don't love them. That doesn't mean that we're not trying to win them to Christ. Someone has helped us at some point, and so many in our families and those we love, we can't do anything less. And in fact, it's part of what we are here for. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19, it talks about the acts of the sinful nature being obvious. But then in verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Well, the first of the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so I think there's a reason for this. And I think it behooves us to really consider the role that love plays in our lives and should play in our heart as well. Since we're talking about fruit, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, Jesus said this, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit you'll recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by your fruit, you'll recognize them. Well, this is obviously a negative passage, isn't it? It's talking about what happens when we have a counterfeit fruit. There are people who are false prophets. They sound good. As a matter of fact, there are people who seem like they would never mislead you. Kind of like I talked about this morning, there are times where people unintentionally will mislead you. They don't mean any harm by it. As a matter of fact, they mean nothing but good by it. But here they are preaching false doctrines because they believe them to be true. Now, there's a remedy for that, and that remedy is knowledge, and that's why we have to be so cautious to stay in the Word and also to understand and recognize those who are false prophets and false teachers. Not so that we can mark them in such a way as to hate them forever, but to mark them in such a way as to say, this is dangerous. This type of teaching is something that could lead a lot of people astray. I remember being in a conversation with one man who just thought that anybody who tried was okay. And he was talking about a very prominent preacher who was denying some very clear things from Scripture. And he was just pointing out from his perspective, he was glad he was around preaching all this. Well, he's preaching false doctrine. There's no telling how many people, by his persuasiveness and by his loving demeanor, he misled. Telling them something that was the exact opposite of what Scriptures had. And so we do need to be on the lookout for false prophets and understand if their teaching is wrong, the fruit cannot be good. And so as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit being love, don't be mistaken thinking that you can have a proper type of a love and teach falsely. You can have feeling for people. You can have warm emotions towards people. But you cannot have the love that's a fruit of the Spirit and be a false teacher. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus points out that this type of fruit, this type of bad fruit, or a lack of even producing good fruit will only be tolerated for so long. He began telling this parable, Luke 13:6. A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard. He came looking for fruit on it and didn't find any. He said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" And he answered and said, "Leave it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down." There is an understanding that we just have so long to bear these fruits of the Spirit. And if we're wasting our time, and more seriously, if we're wasting God's time and we're not bearing fruit, there comes a point where God doesn't even want us using His resources because we're so harmful to other people. And so understand this, even though God is patient far beyond sometimes what we think is reasonable as far as patience, There's still a moment where we've gone too far. And if we're not producing fruit, there's no reason for us to be in a service anymore or even on this earth anymore. And so there needs to be something about us. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we need to understand that there is a time limit on that. We may not understand it fully, but God does. And the idea is get serious about it now and produce these fruits, because these fruits are going to grow a crop for the kingdom. We're talking about people who are really going to be saved or lost based on the way that we influence them. I'm not saying that you are somehow saving them by bringing them the message, but you are certainly doing your part. And I'm not saying that you are the one fully responsible for somebody being lost for all eternity if you don't bring them the message, but you certainly have a hand in it if it's somebody that you have an influence in. And so when we talk about in Galatians 5:22 about the fruits of the Spirit, understand that we need to be bearing those fruits. It's critical for the work of the kingdom. And when we talk about that, we're talking about the fact that it's critical for people's souls. Continuing on with this idea on the fruit of the Spirit being love, how do you get the Spirit? This is very basic. We're not going to spend much time on this, but Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Let all Israel be assured of this. Peter is talking here on the day of Pentecost. Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, said to Peter and the other apostles, "What should we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, this gift of the Holy Spirit is critical for our service to God. We're not talking about the gift, the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit. That came in an entirely different fashion. It appears to be no more. It doesn't appear to have even shown up after the first century, nor would there have been a reason for it, because the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit certainly seemed primarily for the confirming of the Word. And once the New Testament had been written, the message that God wanted men to have was there in full. And so those who were writing it were carried along by the Holy Spirit miraculously. And there were people within the churches who had a miraculous type of a knowledge where they could identify whether this was from God or not. God took no chances, in other words, on this. So we have His Word just exactly the way He wants us to. The times of miracles are over. The Word's been confirmed. But this gift of the Holy Spirit does things for us today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" In 1 Corinthians 6, 19, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, who you received from God?" Well, how serious is that? How important is that? Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. And I like this passage because it really identifies the Holy Spirit as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of Christ, and as the Spirit of God. The three are one. When we talk about the Spirit within you, that's what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit you receive at baptism is the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. "You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." Notice how these are all used interchangeably. "But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you." Now, one more passage, and we're going to tie all this into to the theme of this day, and that's the fruit of the Spirit being love. And it's found in Romans chapter 6, just a few chapters back in verse 3. After we looked at chapter 8, verse 11, where it says, "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies," it's explained already in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 3. "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And this is maybe one of the critical points. This gift of the Holy Spirit that we possess, that we receive at baptism when our sins are washed away, it gives us new life. In fact, it gives us eternal life. Now, we can throw that away before we die, but we have that we too may live a new life, is what verse 4 says in Romans chapter 6. This new life, this fresh start, I think we can all agree we don't deserve. And it can only be explained by love, by the love of God. When we looked at that in Psalms to begin, the 107th chapter in verse 43, and it said, consider the love of God, we need to consider that. We have the opportunity to live forever. And the only way that you can say that sinful men can possibly have that opportunity given to them, the only way that can be explained is through love. It's like our parents when we're growing up and we do certain things and we don't deserve some of the good things they do for us, but they do good things for us. Why? Well, the only way you can explain it is love. There are a lot of people who hang with us even when we don't deserve to be hung with, and the only reason that you can say they did was because of love. God's done that for us. People let us down. Sometimes we wish people had stayed with us longer. And they just gave up too soon. But God never does. And now you have a fresh start. You have a new life. And again, I want to say the only way that can be explained is the love of God and the love of Christ. So we have the Holy Spirit within us. It's a part of God that goes with us. We're called a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. This is one of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. I really like that. There are times where we really don't know what we need to be praying. But we know we need to be praying for God's will. I have to confess, there's a lot of things in this world that are in such a mess, I don't know how they can be unraveled. And if I was in charge of unraveling them, I'd probably do a terrible job. But God knows. And so, as we pray for God's will, there is a communication between His Spirit that dwells within us and God. And He intercedes for us. This says, with words we wouldn't understand, groans that words cannot express, but that's one of the things we have. We have that continual communication with God. That's why when we're commanded to pray continually, that's how we can do it. We have a peace of God within us, a portion of His presence within us. And we need to recall that, because just as God is holy, we have to be holy. And part of Him lives within that temple of our body. The next part, I think, is one of the greatest things that we have. And I'm not sure I didn't recognize how valuable this was for the longest time. But talking about the Holy Spirit, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13... And by the way, when we talk about the importance of baptism, it cannot be underestimated, but it's not just baptism. Ephesians 1 verse 13 says, you are included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. Well, now we know that there are some people who hear the word who don't accept it, so he's not talking to those who reject it. As a matter of fact, he's talking to the Ephesian Christians. You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and now it connects it. Having believed, you are marked in Him with a seal. When they were commanded to repent and be baptized, they believed it and they did it. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. This gift of the Holy Spirit that we have is a deposit guaranteeing eternal life, our salvation. It's repeated again. Got my notes out of order somehow, but I'll find them. Don't go anywhere just yet. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Think about that seal. My dad was a member of the Appraisal Institute. He had a designation MAI. That's what not MIA, but MAI. And it stood for Member of Appraisal Institute. In Wyoming, there was two of them in the whole state. And so there were certain appraisals that banks and other entities had to have done for legal purposes that could only be done by an MAI. And so when he did his appraisal and he put his signature on it, he had a little embosser that he actually literally had to put a seal on there. Without that seal, that appraisal was no good. It was not in effect without that seal. And so think about that. We're given a seal from God. We're sealed for the day of redemption. Without that seal, eternal life for you is not in effect. Salvation for you is not in effect. It has to be there. And so this is a critical part of what we're talking about. In the next several weeks, we are going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit, and we must understand that this Spirit, this Holy Spirit, that this portion of God's presence who literally dwells within us, has to remain in us. And if He does, it'll bear fruit. And there will be evidence of that. Just like an apple tree will bear apples and a pecan tree will bear pecans, if we have the fruit of the Spirit within us, one of the things that we will bear is the fruit of love. And so here's the question. Do you have that? Do you really have that love for your, first of all, for God and for Christ in your heart? Is He the focal point of your life? Do you think about them when you wake up in the morning and think about your responsibility and are you overwhelmed with what they've done for you? And then after that, do you have a love for others? And not just a warm affection, not just a compassion, but the love that God wants us to have that surpasses all other things. That will allow us to see their soul's needs as best as we can without judging them and help supply those needs for no other reason than that we love God and that we love our fellow men, our neighbor. This fruit of the Spirit is so important. It is the crown of the fruits of the Spirit, and I believe that's why it's mentioned at the very beginning. Do you have the fruit of love within you? The invitation's open tonight. If you're ready to become a Christian, please come and let that be known while we stand and sing.